the gospel of Jesus Christ is something that angels would long to look at.
He seems to care, not only that I live, but how I live.
You're going to have to pick and choose. Go with God's word or go with what the world is saying. You need to come down into the Word of God and try and test everything according to the Word of God, which is the plumb line, which helps us to know, is it true or is it false? Preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from
heaven. I've got a God who really is intricately involved in the affairs of man.
Force every sinew and muscle within you to give it all it's got and go all the way to the finish line. It's a labor, and it's a labor of love. The love expresses itself in toil, in sweat, and blood, and tears, and going all the way. And he says, as I remember,
every word is given of God, and therefore it is the end, it is perfect, it is the full inspiration of God. It is the only source of authority that you and I have.
Welcome to Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. We hope that today's broadcast makes the beginning of your weekend a great one. Dr. White is walking through the New Testament book of James in a series he is calling Shoe Leather Theology. James wrote a letter that is practical to the core, dealing with a rough and tumble reality of the Christian life. Before Dr. White begins, let me remind you that if you miss any portion of this broadcast, you can always catch it and all of our archives at randywhiteministries.org. Just look for the Listen Online page. There you will also learn about our special free offer of the month, which I'll mention later in the broadcast. But now, here's Dr. White to introduce today's teaching.
You remember back in school when it came time for the midterm exam, and there you were a little worried about it and concerned because you had learned half a semester worth of stuff and knew half the material or were supposed to know half the material. And now it's time to sit down with a pen and the paper and to begin to express what you knew, what you had been taught, what you were supposed to have learned. Well, as we've been walking through the book of James, we've covered chapter 1 and chapter 2, most of chapter 3, but now we come to verses 13 through 18 of James chapter 3, and it's right in the heart and in the middle of this epistle of James, such a practical epistle. We're calling it the shoe leather theology because it's the everyday use kind of doctrine. And it's as if when James comes to the middle, he begins to review and rehearse a couple of things to say, hey, fellow students, it is now time for the midterm exam. So I don't want you to get sweaty palms and begin to get nervous a little bit, but I do want you to take out pen and paper because it's time for the quiz. It's time for us to look at some things and be able to express our wisdom and our understanding. Now, before we get into the sermon, if you need a review, let me remind you, you can always go to our website and catch any of these broadcasts from the book of James that we've been given, or as I've mentioned several times already, we'd be so delighted to send you the entire series for any donation at all, and we'll explain that through the broadcast here today. But here as we come to James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, he begins by asking a question, and it's a powerful question we ought to consider. He says, who among you is wise and has understanding? And I wonder how your response to that question would be. Who among you is wise and has understanding? And then he goes on, it's as if he says, now does anyone among you have bitter jealousy or selfish ambition in your heart? And he speaks to all these issues of wisdom and understanding and jealousy and ambition. And he's coming together and he's saying, now, here we've been talking about trials and triumphs. We've been talking about sin and temptation. We've been talking about showing a preferential treatment to those who are rich and a partiality. We've been talking about the control of our tongue. He says, now, I want to bring it all together down to the wisdom, not the wisdom that comes from this earth. Not the wisdom that is natural, or James even says demonic, because that's where jealousy and selfish ambition come along in disorder and every evil thing. And as you and I live out our lives, I'm afraid you'd have to agree that much of the wisdom that we have gained is just the wisdom of this world. And remember, James began by his epistle by saying, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him, do you remember? Let him ask of God. Let him ask of those around him, or let him ask of the council of wise leaders. But he says, you better get your wisdom from God, your wisdom that is from above. And as we look at today's sermon in James 3, 13 through 18, we're going to see that our works expose our wisdom. We all like to be known as wise, but James teaches that wisdom is best shown by rolling up your shirt sleeves and getting to work. Are you one with wisdom and understanding? If you are, you should be showing your wisdom and showing your understanding by deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. Here's the sermon for today. We've been walking through James, and he's told us what to do when we come to trials, what to do when we come to temptations. He's told us what to do when we struggle with partiality among people, the rich and the poor especially. He's told us that we need some works added to our faith in order that our works would complement our faith and cause our faith to be of some earthly good. Then he gave us a warning about the tongue as a fire, and it comes in verses 13 through 18 that he speaks specifically about wisdom. And it's as if he comes to the middle of the book and says, now, remember what I've said about wisdom already. If any of you lack it, what are you to do? Ask of God. He gives freely and upbraideth not. And he speaks about our words in here, and he speaks about our judgments in here, and about our mercy, all the things he's talked about. He comes to give a little summary, a little midterm exam, if you will. And I want us to take these verses 13 through 18 and divide them up three ways. Let's look at verse 13, first of all. And I want us to see that our works expose our wisdom. Our works expose our wisdom. Here's what he says. He begins with a question. He says this: who among you is wise and understanding? You see, this is one of those no-win questions. Okay, if I say I'm wise and understanding, then I'm about to get it as the verse goes on. And if I say, no, I don't have any wisdom or understanding, then I hear Paul say the words, what's up? You're still drinking milk. You ought to be eating meat by now. Can't win this one, can I? Well, the truth is that those to whom James is writing, and most of you here this morning, are people who should be of some wisdom and understanding as it relates to the Christian faith. If you've just been journeying along with James, then you have some wisdom about wisdom, don't you? You have some wisdom about trials and about temptations and about partiality, and you have some wisdom about the tongue, right? So there's some degree of wisdom and understanding that you have and you should have. If you have no wisdom and understanding, then I hope you just became a believer maybe this morning. But if you've been journeying along the way, I hope there is some wisdom and understanding. So let me, with that little preview, then ask the question again. Who among you is wise and understanding? Anyone here? That's what I thought. I got a lot more people. You do have some wisdom and understanding. Okay, here's what he says then. He says, let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. Let him show by his good behavior, his deeds. The heart of that verse, it says, let him show his deeds, or let him show his works. That is, it's the works that will expose the wisdom. Now, sometimes in the wisdom of the world, we come along and we have somewhat of a different view. We see wisdom kind of in the old E.F. Hutton frame of reference, for those of you who are old enough to remember E.F. Hutton. When he speaks, everyone listens, right? And so we brought into the church this idea that if you have wisdom, then you're the go-to man. I mean, people come to you and they ask you how it should be done, and you tell them, and then they are able to go and they are able to do it effectively.
But James says that's not the kind of wisdom we want to see in the church. Not the kind where you just sit back on some cush chair and Brother Mossback and Sister Wigglejaw get together and give their wisdom and understanding about how things ought to be done. And if it's not that way, they'll say, well, I can't believe the pastor didn't come to me and check. I've got years of wisdom. If he didn't just check with me, I could have told him what would have happened if he did this. Paul says that's not the way to express your wisdom and understanding. He says, if you've been around the block, the Christian block, the life of service to the Lord, and you've got some understanding and you've got some wisdom, here's how you ought to show it. Roll up your shirt sleeves and get to work. Do something. I think you can turn that around a little bit. And you can say, well, I'm looking for some people with wisdom and understanding. You know how you can spot them? Find the guy who's working or the lady who's working. Find the one who really is involved in service. I don't know if they're in any decision-making capacity. I don't know if they're the go-to guy or the go-to gal. I don't know if they serve on a committee. I don't know if they have some position of prominence or not. But I do know that as far as the Christian faith is concerned, there is real wisdom in actual work. Let him show his deeds. He says if there's some wisdom, let it be displayed. That wisdom and understanding, that Christian maturity, ought to come along with some work. So for those of you who have wisdom and maturity and understanding, put some work to it.
Dr. White will be back in just a moment to continue these thoughts from his series, Shoe Leather Theology. We will send you the entire series of sermons, uninterrupted and unedited for time, for any donation you can give to our ministry. Our current free offer is Dr. White's sermon, Why You Should Be a Zionist. We will send it to you totally free of charge just for joining our mailing list. Dr. White is a committed supporter of Israel, and he thinks you should be too. This sermon will explain biblical reasons for pro-Israel Christian activity. Contact us today at our toll-free number to request this CD or to make a donation to receive the complete series from the Book of James. The number is 1-855, the number 4, Dr. White. That is 1-855-437-9448. You can also get this offer at our website, www.randywhiteministries.org. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-855-437-9448. Now, let's get back to Dr. White's teaching.
Now, there's some criteria for your work he uses in verse 13. He says, first of all, that your deeds ought to be shown in good behavior. Now, we could go to several different scenarios and say, well, what's good behavior? If you're in the classroom, good behavior is one thing. If you're out on the sports field, there's good sports behavior. If you're in the church, there's good churchmanship. And we think about what would it be in the context of this church, what would it be to be a servant? Well, certainly to your ministry of attendance, you're coming, you're showing up, your ministry of generosity, your ministry of witness, your ministry of encouragement, your ministry of service through the activities of the church. All that would be your good behavior. So just make a list of the things that good behavior would be and work that out. Let it be seen in your life. That'll show your wisdom, but not only your good behavior, it also says in a gentleness of wisdom. The word there many times in the scripture, in fact, even in James chapter 1, verse 21, is translated humility. Your work ought to be good behavior in a humility of wisdom. Now, let me tell you what I think that means, a humility of wisdom in our work. Yeah, here's what I think it means, is that the work you do actually produces something. You ever done work that really didn't produce anything? Sure you have. It's not that you didn't work hard. You did work hard. And yet, you were on a treadmill of sorts, and boy, you were building up a sweat, but you weren't getting anywhere. And sometimes we carry out that work that doesn't do anything. And I think a humility of wisdom says, now I want to analyze this work, and I want to make sure it's effective. There's a humility there. Sometimes we have the pride that, boy, this work that I'm doing, it almost becomes a sacred cow, doesn't it? We're working on this program and project, and we've got to do it, even though, truth be known, if the program and project never got done, nobody would really notice, because it doesn't produce that much. A humility of wisdom says, I'm going to work hard, I'm going to show good behavior, but I'm going to make sure my work is worth something. How many of you here grew up Baptist, born and bred Baptist. Any of you? That's what I thought. Most of you. Because you'll understand then, won't you, that Baptists have a spiritual gift. It's called beating a dead horse. I mean, we'll beat that thing. Surely we can get another mile out of him, can't we? We'll stuff that horse and prop him up and make him look as alive as can be. Well, and the truth is, that horse isn't going to get us anywhere. Maybe it did in the past. Maybe it never did. I don't know, but it's certainly not getting us anywhere along. But you love that old horse, and so we get committed, and we just say, well, I'm going to work harder and harder and harder, and this thing's going to work. And there's a humility of wisdom that comes every now and then and says, you know, you can knock all you want. There ain't nobody home. You're going to have to make a change. You're going to have to do some work, some hard work, some good behavior. We want that. But let's make sure there's the humility of wisdom that says, I'm going to make sure it's the right kind of work. The work that's actually finding a hurt and healing it and finding a need and meeting it. Teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and proclaiming the word of God. Among you is wise, let him show his good behavior by his deeds and gentleness of wisdom.
Well, your works really do expose your wisdom, don't they? And James has come through and he's asked such a question. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show that wisdom and let him show his understanding by his good behavior, and by his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. You know, everyone shows their wisdom one way or another, their wisdom or their lack thereof. He says, if you are one of those with wisdom and understanding, show your works. That's the way we ought to be able to see that you are wise. You know, there are those people in the world, and James very clearly speaks about the wisdom of this world, the wisdom, he says, that does not come down from above, but is earthy, spiritual, unspiritual, or natural, and it is demonic. That's the verses we're going to look at when we come together on Monday. But there are those, when asked the question, who among you is wise and understanding, they say, I am, and just come and ask me. And they show their wisdom. And James comes and says, show your wisdom by showing your works, your good behavior, your humility. You know, the person who is so wise and so understanding that they never do anything? I speak with a tongue in cheek there because there are those people who claim to have the spiritual gift of supervision. That is, they're never going to roll up their shirt sleeves and actually get in there and grab the shovel and do the work. They're lazy, even though they make it look like they're one with great spirituality. Now, listen, I think the way you can gauge a person's spirituality is, how much work are they doing? How much work are they doing for the Lord? And sometimes we can just sit back and say, well, you know, I don't go out and do the actual labor, but if you need some advice, I'm here for you. Now, that's not the kind of person the Lord needs in his church. And if that's you, I'd just say shame on you and get with it this morning and say, you know, I want to be one of spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding, not natural, not earthly, not demonic, but I want to be the one who just says, boy, I'll rise to the occasion. I'll be the one who is working. There are those who show their wisdom by bragging. That is, when the question's asked, who among you is wise and has understanding? Oh, immediately this person raises their hand and says, oh, that would be me. I have been around the block. Let me tell you, I have been here through it all. I know what we've done before. I know what works. I know what doesn't work. And I am so wise that you better not do it without asking me first. See, they'll be upset if you don't involve them in the decision-making process. Listen, James doesn't say, hey, let the one who among you who is wise and understanding be involved in the decision-making. No, he says, let the one who is wise and understanding just show it by his works. I can promise, whether it's in your church or your business or your home, If you are the working one, you're the one that gets the job done, you'll be involved in the decision making. That'll just happen. But too many times we come and we just want to be involved in talking about it and thinking about it and making the decision. And you know those people, don't you? I hope you're not that person, but you know those people who just say, I'm going to sit back in my lazy boy. And when you need a verdict, you come and ask me, because boy, am I wise and I'm understanding and I am spiritual. I mean, you need me. There are others who show their wisdom just by spending it all on earthly gain. All their work goes into developing their own portfolio, not doing any work for the Lord. I think here the standard is the person who comes and shows his wisdom and understanding in his work, in his humility. That is, he or she just doesn't really care who gets the credit. What he or she cares about is that the work gets done, the ministry is done. And there are those people who really honestly can sing that old hymn, Footsteps of Jesus. It says, if they lead in the temple holy, preaching the word, or in homes of the poor and lowly, serving the Lord, I will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. I hope that's so much your thought and opinion, that if it's before crowds of people preaching boldly the word of the Lord, or it's in a quiet home somewhere serving the poor and lowly, where you'll never be seen, you'll never be known, your name will never go down in the history books, but the service is done. I hope you'll say, wherever it is, that is where I'm going to go. I'm going to follow the steps of Jesus. Now, James began this passage by asking that important question, who among you is wise and has understanding? And as I mentioned in the sermon, I want to ask you just personally this question again here, and that is, what's your question? What's your answer to that? Do you have wisdom and understanding? It is a no-win question, isn't it? Because, you see, if here this morning you're saying, well, I'm not the one with wisdom and understanding, then I need to say, why not? Haven't you been walking with the Lord? Were you saved a long time ago? Have you been in the church for a long time? How come you haven't been growing? You should be able to say, yes, I have wisdom and understanding, and you should be able to answer that in humility and in wisdom. So if you have been a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ for any time at all, I hope that when the question comes, who among you is wise and has understanding, you can raise your hand and you can say, yes, that's me. I'm delighted to say that God has done a work in my life, and I have been a student of the word, and I have been growing, and I have a wisdom, and I have an understanding, and for that I am overjoyed. And then I hope that you're able to say, not only that, but you want to see my wisdom? You can see it in my works. Well, tomorrow we're going to pick up on this very same subject. Excuse me, that'll be Monday as we come together. We'll pick up on this same subject and here in the same passage. And today we've seen that our works expose our wisdom. And Monday we'll see that our words expose our whereabouts. I'd love to give you this entire series, Shoe Leather Theology, 12 sermons, 12 CDs packaged nicely in two separate containers, and we would give these to you just as our gift of thanks. If you'd give us any donation here at the end of this month of January, we would be delighted, and our ministry would be blessed. And now here's our host to give you contact information so that we can send you this series, and it's been a joy ministering to you this week. Until Monday morning, God bless you.
Well, we've run out of time for this broadcast of Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. But before we go, let me remind you to call today and request Dr. White's free sermon CD, Why You Should Be a Zionist. I'll give the number in just a moment. We would also love to send you the entire series of sermons from this series, Shoe Leather Theology. You will be strengthened in your everyday faith by being able to listen to the sermons uninterrupted and unedited for time. We can send these to you when you give a donation of any size. Now, there are several ways to contact us to request the free Zionist CD or the Shoe Leather Theology series. The easiest is to just call us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-437-9448. You can also go to our website, www.randywhiteministries.org. And Dr. White would love to hear from you by email at randy@randywhiteministries.org. We look forward to hearing from you today.
God has not abandoned Israel unless the sun didn't come up this morning. God is fulfilling the promise just like he said he would, the prophecy. He said, you'll be scattered for many days, but then I'm going to call you back home. If it's a nation created by God, then Israel is a nation protected by God. All these covenants, all these promises, all the Old Testament, all the New Testament, all came to us from the Jews. I think in our daily prayer life, we ought to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem.
And welcome to Friend of Zion. I'm Dr. Randy White, and we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, but you know, sometimes we have to act on behalf of Jerusalem, and this week we have been discussing at friendofzion.com some organizations that we as Christians can become involved in that will help us to be a friend of Zion, literally, not just in our prayers, but in our actions, in our money, and the things that we can do. Today, I want to speak to you about the largest pro-Israel public affairs committee that there is, and that is AIPAC, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee. Now, AIPAC is not a religious organization. It's filled with Jews. It's filled with Christians. There's even those who have no religion whatsoever, but they are working together politically, not religiously, but politically, because they believe that U.S. and Israel has a special relationship, shared values, should be strong allies, pursuing peace together, and even a military partnership. AIPAC lobbies Congress and lobbies the government to keep America and to keep Israel secure. They've been successful in bringing about sanctions to Iran and in working together to achieve peace initiatives, defending citizens in Israel and in the United States from terrorist missiles, encouraging programs like the Dome Rocket Defense System. AIPAC has been a leader in ensuring Israel's right to self-defense. Have you ever noticed when Israel defends itself that all the world seems to go up in arms, but AIPAC is there to defend Israel in her right to defend herself. And not only that, but AIPAC helps to defend and encourages the defense of our own homeland. AIPAC, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee. They work with policy analysts and with individuals. They lobby Congress. They go to the Congress members. They write the Congress. They have a tremendous influence. And you, as a Christian, can be a member of AIPAC right in your own community or at the National Summit of the Policy Conference that takes place in Washington, D.C., one of the largest gatherings of individuals gathered from across the country. It has a powerful influence on being literally a friend of Zion. Let me encourage you to go to AIPAC.org, AIPAC.org, and join. Learn about the work of AIPAC in your community. Heavenly Father, this week, as we have learned about means of supporting Israel and being a friend of Zion, we pray that our prayers are turning to action, that we're putting feet to our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm Dr. Randy White, and this is friendofzion.com.